Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of TGP Radio. As always, I'm your host, Vin, and let's get this draft show underway. I had forgotten and messed up about posting the link in the shout box for people. And right there. Okay, that's posted. Now I'll get people calling in. All right, there we go. Yes, so the draft is here, finally. All the prognostication for people and projections and whatnot have all happened. And, yeah, we're here. And I'm sure we're going to spend this show complaining about picks that our team made and picks that the other teams made as well, because it's much easier to complain and be generally unhappy with your team's draft than it is to actually like it. Because that's how things work. As a fan, it's easy to hate things and not like it. Because, again, you don't see perhaps the day-to-day things. You don't see what went into scouting them, you know, what scouts see in specific players and whatnot. So, yeah, like I said, I'm sure there'll be plenty of complaints throughout this show on various teams. All right. People called in now that I have successfully posted the link, and here we go. Here is, let me see. Hold on just a second. I got to screen. I'm screening my calls. Screening my calls. All right. Got me shook. All right. Here is Buddha right here. Right there. Hello, sir.
Good evening from Draft Town.
Yeah, Draft Town. All right, there is Butta. And here is Cherry. Right there. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
All right. Gang's here. I'm expecting probably Fart to call in, maybe. I don't even know if he's on. I would just anticipate that'd be something that he'd do.
Hand Razor.
Yeah, Razor needs calling. That's what he needs to do. Alright, so, alright, how are we feeling about the, about our draft so far? Feeling good? Feeling terrible? Wish it never existed, never happened. How are we feeling?
I guess I'll go first. I don't know, it's weird. I don't have an issue with any of the players we picked, but there's other players that I would have rather got at each of those spots. So, I don't know, it's tough. These are three guys that I really like, who had really rated high at their position, but not necessarily the guys that I thought the Bears needed for our roster. So,
yeah.
I'm really kind of conflicted.
Well, I don't have too much to talk about. The Rams have only taken one guy in 2 days, so I can talk about the Bengals, or we can talk about the Bengals. But we all knew Jared Goff was going number one, and you guys know pretty well my opinion on Goff. He's not going to be an all-pro player, but he should be a pretty solid starter for years to come.
Yeah. Now, imagine you were a Bengals fan. Imagine that. How would you rate their draft thus far? If you were a Bengals fan, put yourself in a Bengals fan's shoes.
I'm mixed because I would have preferred seeing probably Michael Thomas go at number 24 instead of William Jackson, but I'm not mad at the William Jackson pick. I think the Bengals have stretched themselves too thin, like taking a cornerback basically every year. They're neglecting these other positions in the first round. I mean, they had Denard, was it last year, and then Kirkpatrick a couple years ago. I'm not a big fan of Tyler Boyd in the second. I feel like they would have been better off trying to push up and get Michael Thomas or Sterling Shepard, but they were running pretty low on options by the time they came around on the board the second time. Third round, I really don't know what to think of Nick Vigil. I didn't scout him personally, and a lot of the talk I'm saying is that he was a day three guy, maybe like a fifth or sixth rounder that got pushed up the board. I really like William Jackson, but it just I don't like the fact that the Bengals keep always going cornerback.
Yeah, like the Lions were receivers, or how the Lions used to be with receivers, I should say.
Yeah. Pretty much. And for my Jags, I'm mixed on my Jags. I love the Jalen Ramsey pick. I mean, that is absolutely best case scenario for us. I'm shocked that both the Chargers and the Cowboys passed over him. Just because I thought that, you know, going to San Diego, replacing Weddle, you know, would have been good. Granted, you know, depending on if he was going to play corner safety, but you got to figure he'd probably play both. And then Dallas taking Ezekiel Elliott at 4. I'm not entirely certain why you do that, but okay. So, yeah, Jalen Ramsey falls to us, and that is awesome. Today's picks. Yeah, we get Miles Jack. That's getting in the second is a lot better than getting in the first. There's obviously there's still injury concerns, which is concerning. You know, it's the second round. I'm used to the Jags, you know, essentially missing on our first round picks, and then being amazing in the second round, and later rounds. It just seems like, you know. it's kind of me hating on the pick right now, but I don't know. Hopefully he has is injury free, has a productive career. Hopefully we get more than a couple of years out of him. That's my biggest thing. You need more than just a couple of years from a second round, in my opinion. I mean that's still pretty high. And yeah, but we do need a linebacker, so that fits. And then in the third, we take Cherry's boy, Yannick. That seems like an overdraft. Seems to be. I don't know much about him other than he appears to be essentially a one-year wonder. But if you're going to have a one-year wonder, why not put up 13.5 sacks? Why not do that? But love the Ramsey pick. Very, very lukewarm on the other two. But you know, we got Ramsey, so nothing can pretty much kill the rest of this draft. So
I'm gonna let into you. Okay, the Ramsey pick, as you said, is probably the best case scenario for the Jags. They got arguably the safest pick in the draft. One of the top three guys falling past Chargers and Cowboys for some reason. I don't know why the Chargers and Cowboys are out of their mind to let Ramsey
they're,
go by
yeah,
them.
Dumb.
So you got Ramsey.
They're dumb.
And before all this injury talk about Jack, it's not even a current concern about the meniscus. It's the talk about, a degenerative condition in his knee that could mess him up over the next few years. But before that talk, he was considered a potential pick to the Jags at 5. The Jags actually considered taking him at 5, regardless of the fact that he had that knee injury, even after they found out about it. So the fact that the Jags got Ramsey, along with Jack, makes up for the fact that they took, in my opinion, a complete shit player in Goki. So, Jack, if he stays healthy, is, in my opinion, he could be a potential Hall of Famer. He's that good. He's one of the best guys I've ever seen. He's an insane athlete. Okay. You can move him right. He can play as a 3-4 outside linebacker and come down and rush a quarterback, or he can play as a nickel cornerback and run with a wide receiver. He can do it all. He seems like he's recovering well from the meniscus tear. He did put up that video of him dunking just today, so I understand why teams may be concerned in the long run, but if he comes even close to his potential, he's worth a second rounder, in my opinion.
Yeah, I got to echo what Cherry said. I think Van is underselling this way too much because if last month you would have told me that a team's getting Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack, I would have asked you what you were smoking and how fast can I get some of it, because there's no way in the world anyone thought this was remotely possible. And I still can't believe it happened. I don't care what his knee situation was. You saw Jalen Smith go before Miles Jack, and his is way worse. So
yeah, and he's done for the season. So
yeah, and Jack is going to play this season. So it's just mind-blowing that you got two of arguably the top five in the draft. So, I mean, you better get happy, man.
Yeah, I'm sure once we get to the season I will be. And I did see that Dr. James Andrews did say that he would need microfracture surgery, so that's a plus. It's just it's just a little apprehension. I mean, knowing the Jags, you know, is snake bit as we are, it's just, oh hey, we're gonna take this guy that, you know, has potential injury concerns, but I don't know, maybe it's like reverse psychology and we'll take the guy who has injury history. Yeah, we'll take the guy who, you know, has the injuries, and then nothing will ever happen. Meanwhile, perfectly healthy players tear their ACL 5 days into camp.
Exactly. You get Dante Fowler, never had an issue, blow his knee out. And you get Dak, who's on the edge of messing his knee up. Place 10 years, perfectly fine.
Probably. Yeah. Probably. That's just how things work. All right. Razor's called in, and I've got some questions for Razor. So we'll put him on. Right.
Hello.
There. Hello, Razor.
I'm very
right,
confused.
Razor. I have a question for you. Ready for it?
Yeah, go for it.
What are the Broncos doing?
Next question.
Getting a future Hall of Famer.
I'd like to think that the mock draft game has expanded my knowledge of these draft prospects. And you've taken two guys that I've never heard of in the first three rounds.
Yeah, I think they both
went
in the seventh round of our draft. I'm just like, okay, yeah, let's draft a guy who played Aussie rules football, and we'll have him play defensive tackle. It'll be fine.
Yep.
And then we'll
work out.
And then we'll get a cornerback from, you know, Boston College. That'll be fine. We'll be good.
Yeah.
It's
fine.
That way, it's got the plan. It's all under control. We're fine.
You're fine. Perfectly fine.
I mean, I've heard a lot of hype around Simmons, though. He's slowly climbed up a lot of people's boards, apparently. I don't know about taking him this early, but it's not as bad as taking Adam Gotsis in the second round.
Yeah. I didn't know who that was. I thought, you know, maybe there was, like, a spelling error. We drafted somebody else. No. Adam Gotsis.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. I try my best to know, like, almost every single guy in this draft, and I have no idea who the shit Adam Gotsis is.
Yeah, I mean,
I think,
like,
John Elway was, like, on the phone with someone, and he's like, yo, Adam, we got this, and then they just picked this guy.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I from the Seahawks in the past, those are the two teams I expect this stuff from. But Broncos jumping in on the Who's That game is a little surprising this year.
But they did grab Paxton Lynch in the first, which, you know, if you're a Broncos fan, you've got to be pretty happy about that, because I mean, you still have Mark Sanchez, so you don't have to throw Lynch out there right off the bat. He can sit a little bit. You know, you maybe take your lumps with Sanchez for a little bit, acclimate Lynch to things, and then start him. So at least you have options.
Yeah, until Sanchez, you know, throws 4 interceptions and has 2 butt fumbles.
Yeah,
Lynch should probably be the starter day one, just from the physical talent perspective. He'll do well enough. Literally, all you have to do to win the Broncos is be better than what Peyton Manning did, and you'll still win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, so we should be fine. I mean, we pretty much got this locked up, right?
Yep.
It's just fine.
Repeat.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Everything.
I think you have to suffer through the Adam Gossesses to get the Paxton Lynches. You gotta have the highs. You gotta have the lows.
So Adam Gossess is the highs, right?
No, the highs is Laramie Tunsil.
Nobody was higher than Laramie Tunsil.
Nope. Which. You know, I was gonna bring that up. That is definitely one of the most fascinating draft stories.
You guys see what Goodell said about it?
Yeah, he didn't know anything about it. I didn't see that. He commented that it adds drama or something.
Yeah, he said any drama is exciting or something about that's what makes the draft exciting.
No, he said this is what makes the draft more exciting and things like that.
I was like, what?
I have no issue with Goodell saying it. Eric Winston threw a little pissy fit about it and was all upset about it, but when you think about it, it is how it is. I mean, it makes the draft more entertaining. It's a lot more entertaining to see a guy like Tunsil have a video of him smoking weed out of a gas mask pop up 10 minutes before the draft on Twitter. That while it is, you know, not necessarily a good, like, high moral standing type thing for the NFL to have on their shoulders, it's still entertaining.
And that's all the NFL cares about, those sweet dollar bills.
I just like when he was drafted, some fan yelled out, "Watch out, he might suspend you." And I was just laughing.
And after finding out that Laramie Tunsil smoked weed, Roger Goodell has fined James Harrison $50,000.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, the active sabotage of Tunsil from whoever's doing it. Well, I don't know if it's his stepdad or whatever, because I know he's getting sued by his stepdad. I don't know. Obviously, there's some questions regarding Tunsil, because why would you still have that video on your phone or wherever you had it? Why is it easily accessible to be uploaded? I mean, that's an issue. And then you've got the text between him and coaches at Ole Miss. So Ole Miss is going to get into trouble likely, and it's just, it's just a mess, and we may never see anything like that again. I mean,
you would hope not.
Players would learn
their lesson.
Social media keeps growing. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. You can't really delete that stuff anymore once it's out there. But it wasn't shocking. Like, I've been talking about these Ole Miss players for a while. Just because Laquan is a guy from my area, and I kind of knew, like, all those guys deciding to go there wasn't just for the love of Ole Miss. A lot of those guys got paid. And, like, Laquan was all over Instagram and Twitter with pictures of money he had, and we're like, you idiot. So I knew for a fact they took money, and so this doesn't shock me at all. I mean, it's just, he got caught up by, he made somebody mad. But my question to you guys is, what everybody's asking, is did he fall because of this, or think he was falling anyway? Because I think he was falling anyway. I think Conklin and Stanley were better, regardless of his video.
Yeah,
I don't know if they were better, but I definitely think that the character concerns were a big reason why teams were knocking them down a bit. But I think, you know, having this come out immediately just kind of cemented it for him. Like, I had a feeling teams were on the fence with him, and then they just completely fell off when they saw that.
I don't necessarily know about Conklin, but I think that Stanley was already ahead of him. I think teams liked Stanley a little bit more than Tunzel. Tunzel's a lot more of a potential guy, whereas Stanley is coming in and is going to be one of the better tackles in the league from day one. I think the Rams would have taken Stanley regardless of if that video surfaces. I think it gives them a better excuse in the media's eyes to pick Stanley instead of pick Tunzel because everyone loves Tunzel, but I think Tunzel's definitely trending downwards anyways. So.
Yeah, I don't think it's the weed issue because honestly, probably 98% of these players have smoked weed at one point. I think the timing is the timing's hurtful, and whatever baggage that he is carrying with him right now, it probably is enough to make teams shy away because you don't know exactly what you're getting. You don't know what's exactly going on. Now, I'm sure these guys have, these teams have vetted him, but, you know, that might not be something that you, as a team, want to kind of, you know, jump in with both feet on.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's never really the weed issue. I mean, we know how many places it's, like, legal in. It's just, it's what it says about your character to just get caught up in those stuff when you know it's against the rules and then to lie about it because my account got hacked. It wasn't me. And then the video, we see, like, come on, man. And so it's not really to me what the act you did. It's just, you know, what it says about your character that, you know, how you handle it. So that's really my issue with him. And I think Robert Condici, honestly, has been 10 times better than Tunzel at handling his issues. So I feel like he got a knock. I feel like all the Ole Miss players got a knock, and I feel like people knew about it.
Yeah, I think Condici actually went to a great place to, you know, fix that concern with his character because Bruce Arians has done great work with these guys before. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu, I mean, he's probably one of the cleanest guys in the league right now. So, I mean, Arizona's a great place for him. All
right. All right, here. Blues in chat complaining that we're not talking about the Giants. So, I guess we'll talk about the Giants here briefly. Giants do a seemingly good job of addressing issues on defense, taking Eli Apple. Eli Apple is a bust name, and I expect him to bust. However, I did not factor in that the New York Giants might take Eli Apple. So now I'm fascinated by the fact of Eli Apple playing in the Big Apple. So I'm curious to see if that offsets his bust potential at all. But, kind of shocked everybody by taking Apple at 10. They get Sterling Shepard, which I guess Blue really wants us to talk about in a second. Ooh. And he closes out with Darian Thompson in the third. So, how do you guys feel about the Giants draft so far?
Okay, let's skip Sterling Shepard right now because I don't care about him. This is a tale of two picks. The Bears leapfrogged the Giants to apparently take Leonard Floyd, who they thought the Giants was going to take. Now, everyone's applauding the Bears for that move. I personally don't see how Leonard Floyd fits in with the Giants, but okay, if they were going to take a guy, fine. I still think he would have been there at 11. I think the Giants would have been much more better on with Vernon Hargreaves. But anyway, so that's what we did. Now, my guy, who is underrated, and I love Darian Thompson. I think he's hands down the best safety under Ramsey. Isn't it funny how one pick before the Bears pick, who takes them? None other than the New York Giants. As just to backstab us, because we backstab them. So this is the real play here. Chicago versus New York. That bitter rivalry again. And that's the only thing we got to talk about. We sorry, Giants. We took your boy, but you didn't have to do that to us.
Doesn't matter. Neither of you are getting the draft next year.
That's true. Good old Philly.
Okay, I'll go pick for pick here. Eli Apple, I didn't have that high. I thought he could have been. I figured a cornerback was going to go near the end of that top 10 group towards the Giants and Bucks. I didn't think it was going to be Apple. I thought it was going to be Hargraves or even William Jackson III, but I'm not too bad about Apple. The only issue with Apple, really, is that he's really, really handy. He'll instead of blocking a guy at the line of scrimmage and kind of basically stopping the guy on his route and jamming him up, he wants to go having a fight down the field and throwing hands down the field, which you can't do that at the next level because you're going to get penalized nonstop. He's not that bad as a cover guy. I'm not sold on him entirely as a tackler. I don't know if he's worth the number 10 pick over a guy like Hargraves or Jackson, but I can see the line of thinking there, and I'm not too mad about the pick. Sterling Shepard, I'm kind of mixed on it. I think that Michael Thomas is going to be a long-term better receiver, but at the same time, Shepard isn't necessarily a bad player. I think he is a little bit high there, but I think he's worth the second-round pick probably. He'll probably come in as the number two receiver right away and do a pretty good job. He's not going to be anything insanely special, but he'll be a starter for a couple years probably. Darren Thompson, I think, was an absolutely amazing pick. I have him near the back of the first round. I'm shocked that he fell that far. And it was a great move by the Giants to go up and get him.
Yeah, well, I think the Giants definitely went and addressed their needs. They definitely needed a second wide receiver. They definitely needed help in that secondary. They had an awful defense last year. I just don't know if Eli Apple's the right pick. I wasn't too fussed about him, mostly for the same reasons as Cherry. But, you know, you take who you take. If he's on your board, you know, he's on your board. So hopefully the Giants get the most out of him. I don't know if they will, but, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I like Sterling Shepard. I might be the only one here who does, but that's just because I like small receivers who can always get open. Because Wes Welker's my boy. And Sterling Shepard is Black Wes Welker. So,
I mean, it depends what you're looking for in a guy. I mean, Will Fuller, for instance, is another guy. He's a little bit undersized. He's not going to wow you going up and making big plays. He's not going to be the guy who's going up over a big defensive back to want to jump ball, but he's a guy who consistently get open and do damage a lot throughout the game and get six to seven catches a game and just slowly tack on yards. I don't know if that's great to pick a guy that high if you don't think he's going to be a number one receiver, but I can see the line of thinking with Odell Beckham already planted as the number one guy.
Shepard's
a great compliment.
Yeah, I think he's got to be a slot. Maybe. I don't know if they kept Reuben Randle, but I feel like Shepard would be a slot. Oh, man. Well, it's hard to see a 5'10 guy on the edge playing against these corners these days. And so, I don't know. I mean, maybe they still use him in the slot, and you could still be the number two option and be in the slot. You could be the number one option and be in the slot, like Wes Welker. So, I think they might use him that way because just him on the edge is a little tough for me. But I don't mind the pick. But going back to Eli Apple, I'm cool with Eli Apple, but here's my question. If you know your O-line's been struggling and you're sitting at a 10, why don't you take Laramie Tunsil and then Eric Flowers, who you think is more – he proved he could be a decent left tackle, but probably is more of a right tackle in the way he plays. Why not, you know, make those bookends? So that
well,
was
they've also got Justin Hugh as well, who they drafted early in 2012, I think. So, I mean, they've got
They drafted Justin Hugh pretty recently. But they shifted him to guard.
Yeah, he's a guard now. So you build a pretty young, nice line, I think. And I thought it was no-brainer going to be Tunsil, and then they took Eli. And, you know, granted, the secondary's horrible too, but, you know, you would have figured protecting Eli would be the number one priority. So
I think it's just because it's the Giants, and, you know, they don't generally draft guys with big character concerns. So Tunsil was probably not on their board at all.
Yeah, I can't take Eli Apple either. He does not cook. Give me Tunsil. That dude smokes all the way.
Yeah, apparently Eli Apple might be gay, so you can't take him.
Well, I'm looking at the Giants line right now. John Jerry's not too bad. Pugh, Flowers. I'm not a big fan of Weston Richburg, but they did just spend a second on him like 2 years ago. Marshall Newhouse at right tackle is the glaring issue right there.
Ew.
Why not get Taylor Decker instead of Eli Apple there? I think Taylor Decker's more natural right tackle. You can keep Flowers over at left tackle. You don't have to try and get Tunsil and shift your guys around. Just get Taylor Decker and play him at right tackle.
Yeah, they must just really liked Apple. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's a lot to like with Apple. I think he showed that he's faster than people thought. And on his tape, you know he's a physical bump and run corner. So there's a lot to like with him. I understand it. It's just, I don't know. I think with me, I probably would have went with Tunsil there. But, you know, good to. And then, but even outside of that, taking him over Vernon Hargreaves is hard for me to imagine. But, you know, that could be scheme-wise. And I forgot Tom Coughlin left. Who's their new head coach now?
Ben McAdoo.
Oh, the OC?
Yeah,
I don't know.
He basically changed nothing except the head coach.
I think they still have Spagnuolo, or however you pronounce it.
He's still the DC there.
He's like, why didn't I become the head coach?
See, I think if you had Coughlin, you could afford to take Tunsil because he would have got him in line, and I think it would have been fine, but I forgot they don't have him anymore. So, you're right. He might not have been on the board.
I mean, you already have two starting cornerbacks probably in Rodgers Cromartie and Janoris Jenkins. Obviously, there's not a lot of depth there. You'll be on that if Leon McFadden and Bennett Jackson, but why not take Decker, show up your right side, and then just pick like you're picking the rest of the time. You don't have to. You can take a corner later on or can move somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
Yeah,
they'll be fine.
Yeah, we're talking about.
There's no competition in the NFC East this year, so they'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
Like, Dallas just completely took themselves out of their picture with their draft, so they're not doing anything this year.
All right, let's talk about the real issue here. The kicker in the second round.
Kicker in the second round.
What are your thoughts?
Traded up for a kicker in the second round? Gave up their third and fourth rounders for him?
Most accurate kicker in college history. At least FBS history.
You guys okay with this?
I'm okay with this because it wasn't the Broncos who did it.
I mean, I'm okay with them taking him in second. I'm not really okay with them trading up and giving up extra for it. I mean, unless they really thought that somebody else was going to take him right there, that seems fairly silly. But yeah, I mean, I don't care. I mean, it's a kicker. You're gonna get value out of him, hopefully. I mean, you know, I mean, Sebastian Janikowski was taken in the first forever ago, and that. I know that's only one example, but that seems to have worked out all right for the Raiders. So,
yeah, that's only one example because there was only one example of a
big
kicker.
Exactly. 100% success rate.
Yeah. It's perfectly fine. Think of guys who are taken in the second. I mean, you just add Mike Nugent and Jason Hampson to that list, and I think that's like everybody in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Still
alive and kicking?
Yeah, he's still for the Bengals. He's playing for the Bengals.
Yeah.
Then I have to ask how long we have left in the show since we started a little bit late. Because we have one.
I actually did what I should have done in the past shows and started it right when I called in. So we have got, 45 plus 35 is, what is that? It's 80.
Yeah,
okay. So we've got 9 minutes.
Okay. Because
right.
we have a certain pick that we got to
talk
about.
Oh, God.
That's completely wrong.
Goat quarterback.
I can't believe the Jets took Christian Hackenberg. Oh, my God.
I know. That's ridiculous.
Tyson Lynch is a third or fourth rounder and said, let's take Hackenberg at 51.
Yep.
Didn't
never
they
changed.
Take Bryce Petty last year?
They did take Bryce Petty last year.
I think 2 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Which shows you what they think of Bryce Petty.
Exactly. Oh, man.
You got Petty, Geno Smith, Christian Hackenberg.
I forgot about Geno. I completely forgot about Geno.
That's about as good as the Browns or the – no, that was the Jets trifecta that I was thinking of from a couple of years ago when he had Geno Sanchez and McElroy.
Debo.
That's what I was thinking of. So they're keeping up with the tradition of three mediocre quarterbacks.
I'm living the dream.
Which one has the butt fumble this year?
Probably Hackenberg, right? I mean, it's got to be.
I think
yeah.
he has to be the starter. They just burn a second on him. I mean, he has to be the starter. If you're not bringing back Fitzpatrick.
Yeah,
there's
Fitzpatrick's
no way
like,
you
where
throw
the fuck do I go now?
You
I just love that everything I've been hearing is saying that Hackenberg needs to be rebuilt, and yet he goes to the Jets. And that's not really...
It's just like Cody Kessler needs a defense, a run game, and an O-line, and he goes to the Browns.
Let me go ahead and explain my thoughts on this. And I want to take this moment to say, Razor, day two pick Cody Kessler. I hope you are happy with it. I'm going to rub your big fat nose in it when he's the starter day one for the Browns. And I win the bet.
Okay, hold on. Does that count if either Griffin or McCown are hurt? They get injured
I would say yes, but I would think that he's going to beat them both out.
Okay, so you're going to say he's going to beat both out. It doesn't matter if they're
I think he
or
wins
not.
The training camp battle and gets the Browns starting job day one.
It's going to be Bob. Bob's going to start day one. Deal with it.
Bobby
is 3-6.
Is Josh McCown or RG3 that much better than Kessler right now?
Yes.
I'm going to say about this is I after the Broncos took Paxton, I'm like, there is no situation that Kessler can go to where he's going to start. The league is completely stacked with quarterbacks, and it's just there's very few situations for where he could end up. And the Browns go on the clock. I figured he might have been picked by the Patriots at the back of the third as a potential backup if they end up letting Jimmy G go. And they take Brissett. I'm like, okay, Kessler's not going tonight. And then instead of taking Connor Cook like everyone was expecting, they take Cody Kessler at number 93. I think that speaks to either teams absolutely hate Connor Cook or the Browns see Kessler as a starting quarterback. I don't think
it's
you take a quarterback.
First.
In the
I think it's the first, yeah.
Razor
I don't think you
Connor
take
Connor Cook.
People are saying Connor Cook could be a starting quarterback. And I don't think you can take Cody Kessler over Connor Cook unless you think Cody Kessler can be your starting quarterback. So I think the Browns, taking him this high, well, he could be the starting quarterback this year at least, or next year, one of the two. I think he's
next
one of the quarterbacks.
Tire fire, but they have actual quarterbacks on their roster with experience, you know, who aren't complete garbage like Cody Kessler is. So,
well, Cody Kessler isn't—he can run a pro-style offense. He's not going to be a complete beast. He's not going to tear shit up. But he's
gonna
probably
be
going
Colt McCoy at best.
He's going to run it a lot better than I think RG3 or Josh McCown would. He's not going to throw four picks a game and shit like that. And at worst, he's probably the best quarterback the Browns ever had starting. At least the modern Browns.
That's probably true.
I think I'm pretty comfortable with his line, actually. I'm a little bit worried about right guard with John Greco, but I think Bitonio and Thomas are going to protect him pretty well, and I think that's going to help him out a lot. He doesn't have good receivers to be throwing to, but I think he'll win the starting job and do decent.
See, you know, Terry, I'll admit that you kind of swayed me on Cody Kessler. Not to the level that you like him, but I was like, you know what? He's right. He is a game manager extraordinaire, and if he did get to the right spot, he could, you know, kind of pay man in this thing. But for everything you described his perfect conditions, I'm sorry, but Cleveland is the exact opposite of everything you talked about. And I just don't see him making it there, especially with the guys they got, even with Coleman they added. You're talking about big speed, and Cody's not throwing no deep balls. So he's going to be praying for yak yards, and I don't think this is necessarily the roster for him. So
that's why I don't think Cody's going to dominate like he would have said he had gone to the Broncos, because I think he would have been a starter on the Broncos. I don't think he's going to be dominant, but I think he will do a decent job just being a game manager and keeping the Browns in games. Obviously, he doesn't have good wins. If Josh Gordon ends up coming back, which I don't think will happen, he could have a potentially dangerous offense there. But, I mean, I think that he will do fine for the Browns. He's not going to be impressive. People aren't going to say, oh, this guy's going to be the franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. But just managing the game and doing fine behind that line. My biggest concern with Kessler has always been pressure. If he gets pressured really badly, he'll start making mistakes and fucking up. But as long as he has a decent line in front of him, he's not going to be panicking. He's just going to make the right read and do a lot of short dump-off check-down passes that just keeps the team driving down the field. And I know Razor hates him entirely because he has very little athletic potential. He's not going to be the type of guy that eventually develops into a true franchise quarterback, but I think he's really underrated. He can come in and play in a pro-style offense day one, unlike a guy like, let's say, Bryce Petty a few years ago, who doesn't know how to play defense.
Yeah, I think he compares favorably to Bryce Petty.
I can't wait to win this bet, Razor. I can't wait.
All right,
okay,
we're
going
to end this thing there because I think the Saints are coming off. So, yeah, tonight was rounds 1 through 3, and then tomorrow night will be the rest of the, I guess, the entire recap. Hopefully we'll be happy with what our teams do. Probably won't be. Because it's much easier to hate. So, yeah. So, we'll do this again tomorrow. Thanks
again
for calling in. And,
Jack, you can't complain about anything, Vin.
Yeah. Everything. All right. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye.